Barry Minko is a guy that has more personality than this entire room combined. He also has more business sense than probably anyone that any of us have ever met. And when 60 Minutes profiled him in their program, they said if there were a Con Artist Hall of Fame, Barry Minko would be in it. When he was 16 years old, he started a carpet cleaning business out of his parents' basement. In 5 years, that grew to a $100 million company, or at least that's what it appeared to be. It turned out that it was probably 10% real and 90% a total fraud. He was so good at fraud, defrauding people from their money. By the time that he was 21, that he had stolen at that point $100 million and ended up going to prison for that. He came out of prison and he started a new business helping people identify fraud. And he was so valuable to the FBI because he was so good at what he did that he uncovered hundreds of millions of dollars, far more than he stole from anyone else. On top of that, Barry had become a Christian, and he ended up actually becoming a pastor, and he started a ministry for churches to help churches uncover fraud. He was featured in Christianity Today, and then a few years later, it turned out that he stole $3 million from his own church. And so this morning, I want to talk to you about giving, and I want to encourage you to give generously. And I think that was a pretty good way to start, right? Yeah? Were you guys ready to just open up your checkbooks and start writing some checks? Probably fraud and federal indictments aren't on like the top of your list for why you don't give generously. But one of your reasons might be that you have some concerns about how that your money is going to be used. And that's one thing that we're going to address today. But hopefully, I didn't just plant that seed in your mind and now you're going to say, well, what's the point of giving? Hopefully, we can resolve that as we work through this sermon. Another reason you may not give is that it just might not be something that you think about very often. And we don't talk about it a lot in the church, and at least in our churches. Some churches talk about it all the time, but we don't talk about it a lot. I asked Tyler to preach. I didn't even come last week because I didn't want to be here for that. No, it's not a thing that we often bring up in the church, but it is a big part of our life and a big part of our faith. And so we're going to It is something that the Bible talks about. So just it's something that we ought to think about and talk about in the church. And then finally, the third reason I want to give you for being generous, just besides being mindful about it, is because we give to a very generous God, and that's really the most important part. And so that's the last thing that we're going to talk about. But if you were here last week, you heard Tyler introduce this from 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Paul is talking about an offering that he's collecting from Gentile churches in order to bring it to the church in Jerusalem. They were having a particularly difficult time in Jerusalem, and then a lot of the churches in Greece at the time were financially had it a lot easier. And so this is a really big deal for Paul, and he was collecting a lot of money. And this was going. This was over the course of years that he actually was doing this. And Tyler made the point that in all of this talk about money, Paul never actually mentions money. He never uses any words that are related to money. The whole time he calls it grace. And the point is that it is an act of God that causes people to be generous in their giving to a gracious God. It begins and ends with grace. Well, today Paul is going to start talking directly to the church in Corinth. And he's going to encourage them to be generous. And he's going to encourage them that they can be generous because they know that their money is going to be used, is going to be collected thoughtfully. They can be generous because they think they are mindful about the way that they give. And finally, they can be generous because they are giving to a very generous God. So the first reason that they can be generous is because the ministry that they're giving to is going to be mindful about the way that that money is collected. A few years ago, Josh came home from school, and he said he was having a conversation with his friends. And one of his friends said, well, my dad is a doctor, and when he writes a couple words on a piece of paper and calls it a prescription, and they pay him $100 for that. Another one of his friends said, well, my dad works for Google, and he types a couple words in a computer, and he calls it coding, and they give him $1,000. And Joshua said, yeah, well, my dad's a pastor. He writes a couple words on a piece of paper. He gets up in front of a group of people, and he calls it a sermon, and it takes four people to collect all of the money that they pay my dad. He didn't really say that, but and we don't collect an offering here at the church anymore, but besides, we use these boxes in the back or give online, but when we did have ushers, and there were multiple people who collected it, and that's Paul's point. His first point is that when he takes this collection for the church in Jerusalem, it's not just going to be him dealing with the money. There's going to be a group of people who are all trustworthy, who the Corinthians can look up to and respect and trust, who are going to gather this money for the church. One of them is Titus. They know Titus because he had just visited them, that he had been the one who delivered a letter from Paul, and that was called the tearful letter. And Titus was so encouraged after meeting with the church in Corinth. So then in verse 16, Paul says, thanks be to God who put into the heart of Titus the same earnest care I have for you. So Titus is going to be one of the people who's coming to talk to them about money. And then verse 18, he says, with him we're sending the brother who is famous among all the churches for his preaching of the gospel. And not only that, but he's been appointed by the churches to travel with us as we carry out this act of grace that is being ministered by us for the glory of the Lord himself and to show our goodwill. In verse 22, he mentions one more, our brother whom we have tested and found earnest in many matters, who is now more earnest than ever because of his great confidence in you. And then finally, he says he's sending these three men. Verse 20, we take this course so that no one should blame us about this generous gift that is being administered by us. The point is, he wants to make sure that there are enough people involved in this. He's being thoughtful about it so no one can say, Paul is doing this for himself. Paul had not taken a salary from the Corinthian church, even though he could. As an apostle, he had every right to ask them to support his ministry. He had not taken any money from them for himself. But now he's asking for a generous gift from them. And some people might say, well, yeah, I don't think that's really for Jerusalem. I think Paul's going to put a little bit of that gift in his own pocket. And so Paul says, no, I'm sending these men. And he gives their qualifications. Their qualifications are not that they're really good at finances, that they've proven themselves in business. And it's not that they're like burly guys who are going to be able to fight off people who will potentially steal it. It's people who love Jesus, who are famous for preaching the gospel, who are earnest, who are zealous for God. What he says is they have amazing character. Verse 23, as for Titus, he's my partner and fellow worker for your benefit. And as for our brothers, they are messengers of the churches. The glory of Christ. What an incredible recommendation to be given for someone to come and to talk to them about money. Paul says, I have a relationship with these people. These people love Jesus, and these people love you as well. Paul is saying that everything we're doing in terms of this collection is thoughtful so that you don't have to worry that the money is going to be misused. So if you're wondering about whether or not you can generously give to this church or some other organization, know that one thing is that you should be certain that the money is going to be used well. The money is going to be used, it's going to be carefully protected, and it's going to be invested in the very work of God. All the people on our finance team at this church are chosen not primarily because they're gifted at administration, not primarily because they are good with money, but primarily because they love God. It's important that they have skills with money, and they do, but much more important that they're trustworthy and that they've shown a commitment to Christ in his church. And so when you think about where you give your money, and if some of it may be here, some of it may be other places, find out that it is being given to people who really love God and have proven that they love God and that they're committed to his church. And there are organizations that are financial oversight for especially these massive places that are really important. And I think that that's important to know, especially these big ones. They need some accountability in how they use their money. You can look them up and see how they use it. But most importantly, be in a relationship with the people that you are giving your money to. Get to know them. We have the most amazing roster of missionaries in this church. And Molly Clark, it fits perfectly in that group of people. We know that that money is going someplace where it is going to be used for the work of the gospel. And I'm so thankful for that. So be in a relationship and know that the money is going to be used well. Know that there's not going to be some sort of major fraud and things like that. And that does happen in churches. I know it's pretty rare, but so that's the first thing. If you want to be generous, just find out, be in a relationship with the people that you're giving the money to. The second thing to be generous, a generous giver, is to actually plan your giving. Give some thought to it. That's what Paul is saying to the church here in Corinth. In fact, they had actually given thought to it. They had promised a generous gift for the Jerusalem church. And they had started to collect that gift. And someone was there, or a group of people were keeping it somewhere safe. And every week people had started to give in, and it was building up, and it had become a pretty sizable gift. But then there was some conflict in the church, and there's this issue with Paul, and they just started to forget about this gift and had started to stop. They had stopped giving to it and had just sort of forgotten about it. And so Paul is actually writing to them to say, I've told other people how generous you are. You have inspired other people by your example. And you've started to give to this gift. I want you to get this letter and hear from these men so that you'll finish giving to it, so that when I show up, you have completed the collection and it doesn't feel forced by my presence. In verse 5, he says, I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to go on ahead to you to arrange in advance for the gift you have promised, so that it may be ready as a willing gift and not as an exaction. He really wants it to be a generous gift. That word gift is really blessing, or it has to do with something that's bountiful. He wants it to be freely given and not forced by his presence, where all of a sudden they're reaching into their pockets and giving something because they don't want to be embarrassed in front of Paul. When I was a youth pastor at a previous church, I had brought a friend, and my friend didn't go to church, and he was there visiting me, and he came that Sunday, but you know, otherwise he on a normal Sunday he wouldn't be in church. And so we're sitting there, and he's right on the aisle, and the ushers are preparing to come forward. And so I said to him, when the usher comes by, don't make eye contact. just look down, and then the usher will just, he'll know you don't want to give. Because it those moments, you know, there's a little bit of awkwardness there in that moment, and it feels a little bit forced. And I saw this cartoon, we can put it up here, a few years ago. It's a cartoon of a guy dressed in a suit with dark glasses, and it says, it looks like an offering we can't refuse. Like, this guy is going to make sure you put something in the plate. That is not a gift. That is something that is forced. And if that's the way that you give, just kind of show up and you feel like you should put something in the offering plate because you don't want to be embarrassed because other people are watching or whatever, then it's not really a thoughtful, generous, freely given gift. What Paul says is that you should be mindful about the way that you give. Imagine if every month you say, oh yeah, we should put some money toward our mortgage. Or every once in a while you're like, oh yeah, I should maybe pay my car payment this month or part of it. Like, you would not do very well if you weren't thoughtful about those expenses that you have in your life. In the same way, same sort of thought, we should give toward our giving. This is a fairly large expense if you give somewhere around 10%, maybe some of you more, maybe some of you less, but if you give that much toward the church and other ministries, then it won't happen unless you're thoughtful about it. When I was growing up, my parents wanted to teach us about money, so they started giving us an allowance and actually having us buy things like our clothes and things like that, just so we could kind of learn that everything costs money. And they would put it in boxes, and those boxes were labeled different things, like clothing and then like free money. And then there was one box that was labeled for church. And so out of all of the money that they gave us, every month, 10% of it would go into that box for the church. And we knew that we were not supposed to spend that on candy or on toys or something like that. We would take that to the gathered worship on Sunday mornings, and we would put that money in the offering plate. And so that when I grew up, it was just normal that I knew that a portion of everything I made was going to go to the ministry of the church. And so I'm thankful for having learned that lesson in my life. And if you haven't learned that lesson yet, now is not a bad time to start. A lot of churches, what they'll do is they'll ask for people to pledge for the entire year how much you're going to give, and that's their way of coming up with the budget for the year. For us, we pray. We know, you know, how much was given the previous year. We know the trend that it's going. And so we seek the Lord for what he might want us to do. And that's how we set our budget. But I want to encourage you as an individual and as a follower of Christ to be thoughtful about the way that you live, the way that you give. Rather than just, you know, deciding every week a certain amount, take a look at your budget. Take a look at how much you're able to give, and be thoughtful and make a plan for that. That will help you be a generous person. And over the course of your life, if you regularly give to the ministry of the church and other gospel-centered ministries, then that's going to add up to a lot of money. tens of thousands of dollars, hundreds of thousands of dollars for some people, millions of dollars for some people who are making three figures or more. Over the course of your life, that is a lot of vacations that you could have had. That is a lot of vehicles that you could have purchased. That is a lot of homes, actually, that you could have owned, all given to others and given away, and money that you did not spend on yourself. That is a lot of money, and so it's worth being thoughtful about it. But the most important thing you need to know in order to be a generous person is that you are giving to a generous God. That all of that money that you're giving away, that you are getting something from that that you could not get in any other way. Paul uses an image from the world of farming to encourage people, the church in Corinth, to be generous. He says in verse 6, "The point is this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully." A farmer who takes some seeds and goes out in the field and carefully plants a few individual seeds, and he sees it kind of going down in his seed bag, and so he starts, you know, holding off and starts spreading it out a little bit more. In the end, the crop that is produced from those seeds is going to be relative to how many seeds were planted. Another farmer who sees that he has these massive bags of seeds, and he goes out and spreads his seeds everywhere and makes sure that the ground is sufficiently saturated with the seeds to plant, he is going to have a much bigger harvest. Paul says that whatever measure you give, whether it's sparing or bountiful, that is going to be, in the end, what you get back. Farmers can, in a good year, get a way better return on their investment than any investment banker. I mean, they just take a few bags of seed, and by the end of the season, they have this bountiful harvest, 30 times more than what they planted. Even more than that, these tiny little seeds produce this bountiful crop after the sun and the rain, and God does his work in that crop. Paul says it's the same way with God. You are giving to a generous God, and he is going to give you back far more than what you put in. Jesus told the parable of the sower. In that parable, the sower scatters the seed, and some goes on the path, and some goes on rocky ground, and some goes on weedy ground, and some goes on good soil. And we spend a lot of time saying, okay, what's that, comparing the soils, like the path, the rocks, the thorns, and that's what all of the sermons are about. But one time I heard a sermon, and he mentioned that a little bit, but he said, you know what's really remarkable about this parable is the fact that the sower doesn't care where his seed lands. He's just generous. He's just throwing it out everywhere and seeing what comes up. He's not carefully placing individual seeds everywhere. He's putting it everywhere to see what happens. That is the kind of generous God that we serve. A God who's willing to send his son to the earth, to people who he knows most of whom will ultimately reject him. But there are some who will see in this poor man the Savior of the world and come to put their faith in him. He told them earlier in the passage that Tyler preached last week that he who was rich became poor so that you might become rich through him.
And it gets chapter 8, verse 9. Let's just confirm that. Yeah, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus. Though he was rich, for your sake he became poor, so that you, by his poverty, might become rich. This is Jesus, more money than Bill Gates, Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, all the richest men in the world combined. He's got way more than him. And yet he comes to the earth and he doesn't even have a place to lay his head. He is just a poor teacher without any notable possessions to his name. He is giving everything up so that there might be people 2,000 years later in the town of Marblehead who are gathered together saying, he has made me rich. He has given me a righteousness that I could never earn on my own. That's ultimately what Paul is saying, is that it's not that you're going to get a return on your investment financially, but you are going to get it in righteousness. Verse 8, God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. God is going to keep giving you enough in order to keep giving to other people. God is going to keep providing all of the resources that you need so that you can keep providing for others. As long as you're investing what he's giving you in his kingdom, he is going to give you more and more seeds to plant. In verse 7, and this you see this on a lot of offering envelopes, it says, each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion. So think about what you're going to give, for God loves a cheerful giver. That word cheerful there is like a smiling face. The Greek word is hilaros. Sounds a lot like hilarious. Someone who knows that when they invest their work, their money, it's going to be used wisely. They've thought about it. They're generous. And they are going to get so much more back from it than what they put in that it's actually hilarious. They love giving because they know what they are going to get from it. And more importantly, they know how much that they have been given. That everything they own is actually a gift of grace from a generous and gracious God. It's not uncommon for us to get excited when, you know, the Powerball starts getting high and you think, I could go buy a ticket. This would answer all of my financial problems. You get offers all the time through email or in the mail saying that here's a guaranteed return on your investment. And those things get our attention. They send them because they know that those are things that we are interested in. But God is saying here, here's an offering you can't refuse, because the return is guaranteed and it is better than anything anyone else has to offer you. If you are confident that your money is going to be collected and used for the gospel, if you're thoughtful about how that you give and you plan your giving, and if you know that you give to an incredibly generous God, you can be a hilarious giver. You can be someone who is generous, not only with your money, but with your time and with your words and with your actions, serving others, because that is the way that God has served you. We worship an incredibly generous God. May he make us generous people. Amen.